Hello, and welcome to episode 25, guys, of At Your End Step. My name is Morgan, and I'm joined with...
Hey, guys, Jordan.
And?
Mike.
Yeah!
I was kind of like one of those, like, the old Microsoft, PowerPoint, clapping, like, yay! Clap, 25!
Maybe we'll...
listen to all 25. What the hell? Get a job.
Get a life. Do something better with your days, please. This one's getting out a little bit late, we know, but, you know, this is the last one. We're going to take a break until the new year, so this is the last one that you got, so hold on to it. And we are doing a holiday cube draft as we podcast, so we'll tell you of the exciting things that are going on.
We first picked Strip Mine.
Yeah,
so our first pick was Strip Mine, and then Molten Rain, and then the Ashen Rider, so we just don't want people to play lands.
You mean Avalanche Rider? Yeah,
I want to say Ashen Rider.
Not that card. So being that this is our 25th episode, you know, it's a pretty good milestone for us personally, and obviously it being the end of the year, we definitely wanted to take some time to do some of our traditional stuff, go over the Invitational. Obviously that's the last sort of big tournament before the year ends. Do some cleanup with, recapping 2013, looking forward to 2014. Also, Star City Games had some big announcements that we want to take a look at. We also have some announcements to provide to our listeners as well. And then, do our typical, telling you guys about our website and everything like that. So we'll get started here. Let's check in with the cube draft. So how's that going?
Well, deck's looking good. Deck's insane. We're playing red-black beats. And we've been debating whether we want to splash green for Tarmogoyf pretty much this whole time, and we just picked a Treetop Village, so the answer is yes.
Yeah, pretty good. I think we're taking this.
Yeah, so.
So Jund Aggro, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Jund Aggro with Molten Rain, Magus of the Moon, Avalanche Riders, Ravenous Peboons, and Strip Mine. So I'm sorry if you played a big slow deck that wants to have fun playing this game. Because we're going to say no.
Yeah,
if you're trying to set up the bigger animator package, you're not going to enjoy playing at your Instep on Moda.
Either way, it sounds like we're going to have fun. We'll obviously have updates as the draft progresses. But right now, we're still just putting the deck together and everything like that. So
correct. We're on a pack three right now, right?
What? Where's the last pack, buddy?
Oh, do we already do three packs?
Crimson Volley!
So let's go ahead. Oh, what did we just pick?
Fire Blast. Yeah, second last pick, Fire Blast.
We're not losing.
Seems fine.
I actually don't think we're playing it. But anyways, continue.
Anyway, so let's go ahead and get started. We'll take a look here at the Invitational that was in Las Vegas, and it was won by none other than Max Brown playing Mono Black Devotion.
Wait, he wasn't playing an artifact deck?
No.
But so, he's Max Brown.
I know. It's unfortunate.
He's the max amount of
brown.
Brown.
Get it? I know. I understand.
Whatever.
I'm sorry.
Just because it's episode 25 doesn't mean bad jokes go away.
Hey, sir, I'm glad you won the Invitational, but you are a flavor fail.
Yeah.
You're you're walking hypocrisy.
You should be.
I hope you are ashamed of yourself and you spend your money on charity.
Okay. Good.
Get the punch. I hope you're a good person after all.
Good
this.
Rant. So we
screw you, Morgan.
So we have some interesting things in the top eight, though, right? So we have Eric Smith, former Invitational winner, going into the top eight. He played Red White Devotion along with Taya Steele, who also played Red White Devotion. So we have that list showing up twice. We have Andrew Shrout, Pro Tour top eight competitor, coming in with a Green White Aggro, which is something that hadn't really been seen before, just because it. Yeah, I always thought it had a pretty bad matchup against Mono Blue, in all honesty. It doesn't seem like it would be terribly good against that matchup. We have Shaheen Sarani showing up with Esper Control. And then we have Alex Bertoncini, guys. He top-aided.
Yeah. And if you paid attention to coverage, there are multiple instances where they're like currently in first place, second place, third place, fifth place.
Correct.
Yeah, they even put the graphic up on the stream of, like, current top 16, and they just, like, skipped 7th place. It was, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then in the graphic, they just went to 8th. You're like, come on, like, don't let the guy play, like, if you're not even going to pretend he's right. Like,
it's definitely an interesting to see this guy, like, obviously be a huge talk, especially even for us, show up and just be like, I'm just going to top 8 an Invitational, no big deal. He finished 7th overall in the tournament, but I think it would have been a very... I mean, what do you think would have happened if he would have won? Like, what would have been the fallout from this?
Like, they go to the finals, and all of a sudden you're like, and now we have got the score war.
Technical difficulties.
SCG score for a total.
Yeah. I don't know. They did fine when he was in the finals of what did he final? Dallas Fort Worth.
He finaled in Legacy Open.
Right, and that's how he qualified.
Yeah,
and they did fine with that. The coverage was fair. It was Mathias on it, and he's a fair commentator.
Sure.
It was fine. I think it would have been okay. So Star City's ultimately a professional gig, despite wanting to protect a little bit of their own interests when it comes to
that. I just think it's funny that they do actively, any time that he could potentially be on coverage. I don't think that he was really... Did he even have a camera match the entire time in the Invitational?
I don't think so.
So they do go out of their way to ignore him as a player, but they still allow him to play in their tournaments.
Yeah, I don't understand. They could just say, like, no.
Yeah, just like, stop going you did to these. Things, you're banned.
You did these things on our open circuit. You're banned. And they decided not to do that. Good for them. They turned the other cheek. But then you have to go the full distance, right?
Right. Now, it's kind of childish to me that they do that. That they're just like, yeah, you can come, but if you do...
It's a dude. I said black, red, aggro in a fun cube draft.
But it's... I don't know. It's silly to me. Like... If you're going to have a player and allow him to play, then you should probably just, you know, feature him and actually say when he's in top eight and not just be children about it and be like, oh, we're just going to skip him when he's in seventh.
Oh, like, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's it. It's weird. And, like, you know, congrats for him. Like, the guy has come back and played on a high level. And if you're playing on a high level, like, he did finally, you know, if you're sitting on top of the Invitational, like, I mean, if you've never been to one of the Invitationals, like, just the Open that has it with it, you're sectioned off in your own area of seating. You get your own judge to hawk. Like, the guy had to play well to do it and play within, you know, the letter of the law. Not to mention that fact there's no one in that invitation who wasn't sitting across from him scrutinizing everything he did.
Right.
So, you know, congrats to him. And, you know, he'll probably continue to do well. He's a good player. So.
I think the best part, I watched his stream. His Twitch name is 2Explorers.
Yeah, of course it is.
this guy actually does not feel bad for what he did, but he's a good player. Yeah. And
but did you see that Room Wrestler had the a news inning from the top eight? And was just going through each player, and he's like, and also the top eight, Alex Brancini. And he just, like, stares at the camera, and he's like, moving on!
But, I think, like, the best story to come out of the top eight of the Invitational was Gregory Hatch's story. Did you guys hear?
No.
So, he qualified last week, the week before the Invitational, took the Megabus to Vegas to play in the Invitational and top eight. So
that's awesome. That's
fantastic.
And, like, everyone knows, you know, most people are familiar with Gregory Hatch and everything like that. So it was good to see him show up and just play blue, because he played Mono Blue Devotion in the standard portion, and then he played Merfolk in the legacy portion. So he just played all blue creature decks and got to the top eight and almost took the whole thing down. So with, you know, Mono Black Devotion showing up again, and I thought it had a really strong following going into the Invitational.
For sure.
Just because, as we've discussed, you know, when you have a tournament that has buys, you know, we typically see, you know, players going for the strongest deck, which for what I've been seeing has actually been Mono Black Devotion. Most people are leaning towards that just being the best deck of the format right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. I mean, I think I said before, like, how these Devotion decks can't get hated out, and they're just not getting hated out. And I think the thing that's really interesting is that we had such perfect mana before that people were sort of, like, rediscovering just how, like, I don't know. Like, everyone's got their favorite play sets of, like, lands, like, basics. You know what I mean? Like I get to play Tempest Mountains right now. And I'm so happy I get to do it. And, like, it's just kind of, like, refreshing now. Just be like, you know what? I could make this, like, ridiculous, like, three-color combination and do this. But I just want to play Swamps.
I got all these Mirage Islands. I got to play these.
Back to a simpler time of Magic where you play Swamps and play Ravenous Rats. I mean, that's just what you do, right?
I mean, well, it's funny. It's familiar.
I hate the ugliness of, like, normal just, like, Return to Ravnica lands. So, but, like, last format, being new, I never had to play basics. I didn't play one basic, I don't think, right? Mm-hmm. And here I am, like, oh, like, I spent $20 on basic islands to buy the nice ones, you know? Just like, why am I spending money on these? I have a box at home. But it matters. It matters. Yeah. I gotta have my bowls. My John Avon pillars, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we all know it matters to Brian Kibler, so. That's all that really matters. But yeah, so the Invitational was pretty interesting.
Our match is starting.
Oh, and our match is starting.
Yeah, our hands in the nuts, you'll see.
Which is exciting.
We'll post a copy of our deck to the website at yourinstep.com.
Yeah, and of course, like the last episode, we'll tell you if we win.
Yeah. In the title.
And if you don't see anything, then we didn't. So.
Yeah, if it's just like a normal episode.
Would you guys cubing? No, we didn't do that.
Don't worry about it.
There was a video of us drafting Theros that you never saw.
That's true. There have been some lost videos that have happened just because Morgan's a bad pilot sometimes. What a shock, right? So we'll kind of also, we wanted to discuss some of the announcements that actually happened during the Invitational. So Star City Games, of course, usually announces things like their upcoming schedule. As well as something interesting that actually happened is they have kind of done some extra work in their ability to present their tournaments that they have. So their actual broadcasting, the faces of their broadcast are going to be sort of a solid set of people. I'm actually pulling up a list here. So we have, as soon as it loads,
Cedric Phillips is the lead, right?
So Cedric Phillips, of course, is going to be the lead broadcaster. And we have Osip Lubadovitz.
Oh, fantastic.
We have P. Sully, Patrick Sullivan, Patrick Chapin, of course. And, Matthias Hunt. So those are going to be your five faces of the Star City Games Open Series.
Which the top best casters, right?
Yeah, I mean, the top-notch people we have here. The one downside that Mike did point out, no Joey Pasco here, which is pretty disappointing.
Very disappointing.
I imagine that probably it has to do with his schedule. Like, I know that he keeps odd hours, and that's kind of a reason why things like In Contention had to be pushed to a hiatus at this point in time. So it's very interesting to see. We also we're getting some new tokens. I don't know. Did you guys take a look at the tokens?
Yeah, they're sweet.
Okay,
Jensen's is hysterical.
First of all, our Elias token gives me nightmares. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It is literally the creepiest goddamn thing that they have ever printed. I can't.
That guy, literally, I told you before, he doesn't take good pictures.
And now
it's creepy.
He's immortalized as a creepy ass fairy rogue.
That's creepy ass fairy rogue.
It's just horrifying. William Huey Jensen's is of course a 4/4 giant warrior, which is great. You probably won't see it a lot, but you know what? He doesn't care. He is a giant.
I understand, a very peaceful, passive guy. Like, I think giant priest or giant cleric would have just been insane. Like, this is giant, but
just haven't made any of those. So he has to go with an actual token.
I don't care about that.
We have Brian Bronson, which I think is, like, the weirdest one. He's a 0/0 germ, and it's just, like, him, his arm raised, riding a batter skull. And it's just like, oh, all right. Okay. That's whatever. And then we have CVM, Chris Van Meter, as a 1/1 elemental, which I kind of want a bunch of now. just right now, though, not in the future. And then last but not least, we have Evan Irwin. And if you guys have noticed that he actually, in his latest episode of the Magic show, it actually breaks down his artwork. And he has like a bunch of the cards that he like freaked out about. So he has a Warren Instigator on his card in the artwork. And he also has Giant Solifuge, or Mr. Tickles, as he lovingly calls it. And then he also has like three spirits, so he has Special Possession on there. So it's really, really interesting. To kind of see, you know, what Kristen Pleskow did with the art of the tokens and everything like that. Except for that Ari Lax token, man. Oh, I'm just going to rip that up as soon as I get it. Jesus Christ.
I'm very excited for Evan Irwin tokens. I don't know why. It just makes me happy.
Oh, and Columbus gets an Invitational, which is pretty cool.
We got the qualify, right?
Yeah, and we got to get there now. We got to do it. I have, 7 points. I don't know when they expire, though, so who knows?
Soon, actually.
Well, that sucks, I guess. Yeah. I'm going to have to try really hard.
We'll go grind in opens.
as typical, you know, Ohio actually gets hit a lot, or the Midwest area actually gets hit a lot with these tournaments, so they're just like back-to-back a lot of the times. But it's super exciting. So what do you guys think about them having a set coverage team? You guys think
I think Mike just punted in cube. He bolted Ral Zarek when we could have just stolen it and also submitted it with Zell's Conscript.
I actually meant to bolt him, we can't because we're going to lose three lands.
Oh, well.
So he played a Sundering Titan.
We still played Royal.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I was paying attention. Yeah.
Great. Anyway, you know, so playing Magic.
No, sir.
So, obviously, and an interesting thing is, like, you know, you've seen people and they just have their sports coats over t-shirts, but I mean, like, we're going to have legitimate people in suits and ties, and yeah, it's kind of exciting. You guys have any opinions on it? I think it's a good move to make.
Yes. StarCraft did this. I know this reference is getting old, but like,
guys, I don't know if you know this, but
George from the esports background. Like, they used to have the dudes in t-shirts and blazers, and it was whatever. Like, you kind of were like, oh, I'm a gamer, that's my thing. But then you kind of want this game to be pushed to the forefront. You want someone that just turns on Twitch one day to sit down and go, oh, this isn't a popsicle stand. This is an actual organization. Like, this cover shot they have for SCG Live with Cedric Phillips at the front, you know, like this news team-looking thing, looks really good. And it's going to say, hey, this is professional. Like, the Pro Tour is a great thing for them to be watching. And I think that they've definitely taken heed and gone, no, we are a professional organization, not a group of gamers that just kind of dicks around. I think it's fantastic.
I definitely agree with that. I think it does kind of take it to the next level. I mean, I understand it's just a, you know, the proof's really going to be in the pudding. But we've seen all these
delicious
guys cast.
I love pudding. We've obviously
seen all these guys, you know, commentate, and we all know that they're very solid commentators. And now they're going to look more professional than they have before. So I think it does, you know, lend a little bit of credence to, you know, what they say and what they do. And I honestly think that Wizards can take a page from their book. And, you know, having the people that are commentating on this game look nice.
How many times
are we going
to say that about Star City? I mean, I'm very honest. Like, how many times are we going to say that about Star City? Just like, oh, hey, by the way, you should probably do what Star City's doing so that your game's not shitty.
I mean, I'm not saying that I'm not saying it's going to happen very often, but I mean, if they're going to be serious about it, which I think Star City is, I think that's a huge revenue for them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
In some facets, just to get their name out there.
Oh, sure.
They're the biggest for a reason, right? So why not take that?
I don't know. There is the TCG 50K.
Oh, they can't even put in the money to rent out the Columbus Convention Center.
That's the one.
Yeah, those guys.
The sad ass Veterans Memorial.
They're tearing that place down. The city's like, no, the money you gave us, we're just gonna burn it. Actually,
it's not even worth our time. So I think it's definitely exciting. And they kind of did a dry run with this with the Invitational. And I have to say that their Invitational coverage is always the best coverage that they do. And if they could just replicate that in any facet, I'm excited for
it. Yeah, I wonder what the difference is, like, Invitational to Open. You know, at the Classic, you didn't see anybody at our Classic that was normally at an Open. So it's not like they're splitting the team up. I really want to know why we can't have that every week. And just like with Wizards and, I mean, I know money probably, but like Wizards and a GP. Like, a GP has to make more money than the PT, right? So, like, why can't we have that same top-level coverage for a GP?
I definitely understand. But I think that's what Star City is trying to do, is they're trying to bring that level of coverage every weekend.
And hopefully that consistency issue is fixed with this.
I hope so, too. And another big thing they announced, don't want to forget this, is the Players' Championship, guys.
Yeah, the Players' Championship.
16 competitors, $50,000. First place, $20,000. Can you believe that? So, this is pretty interesting.
Sorry, we're just getting blown up by a fucking Tinker deck.
Oh, it's okay.
Wait, did you play a turn 2 Sundering Titan?
Yeah.
That sounds good. That sounds real good.
Draw a Mountaineer and be okay?
So,
get punished.
So, how this is determined is pretty much you get the four Invitational Champions.
Mm-hmm.
You get the Open Series Point Leader at the end of each Invitational season. So, that's another four seats. So, that's eight. And eight players with the most Open points at the end of the last 2014 Invitational weekend.
You're like listening to this, like the thing from that Will Ferrell basketball movie, where they're talking about like how they can all make the playoffs. Like, if these six teams kill these six teams, these two teams are there. And if these guys finish with a .02 rating over top of the other ones, and they don't dribble the ball three times, then the Wizards make the championships.
it was a very semi-pro moment.
Yeah, that's what I was a semi-pro. There it is.
So, I mean, this is pretty interesting. I mean, they're trying to give people more money, trying to give Magic players even more cash, which who isn't excited about that? Not saying that anyone on this podcast is going to make it to the Players' Championship, but who knows? It could happen.
No, I do. I know that we're not.
Well, that's the thing that I like about this, though, is it It is a premier level event, and it is Star City trying to build a Pro Tour.
I mean, it's basically somewhat replicating what Wizards already does with, you know, their Players Championship that they have. So, and that's fine. You're just trying to give more Magic players more money. So, I think that's fine. I think the changes that they made and the Invitational as a whole was very exciting. It's a great way to end the year. It's kind of sad that we don't really have any, you know, super big tournaments to talk about. Star City games-wise, of course, until the end of the year. I don't think Wizards, I don't think there's any GPs or anything like that. I can tell that the draft is not going well.
Are we talking this guy out? Is that what we're doing? Mike's just like looking at me, looking at the screen. I'm like, oh, we're really going to sit for 20 minutes?
I'm going to five in the breeze for a little bit.
Passport, we're already at like 10 minutes and we don't get auto-kicked. Is that like what we're doing?
I mean, that sounds fun. We got a podcast. We're doing a podcast. He'd understand. So we'll kind of move on.
Mike's that asshole you play on Moto, by the way.
Sorry.
I'm not saying anything to the guy.
No, we're dead next turn. And Mike's like,
no, he's activating the metal worker. This guy's a jerk, too.
We didn't just tank and play and unleash the Rakus Tackler. So we're more one. So anyway.
I'm glad you both are dicks to each other.
Casting Leviathan when I'm dead on board.
This is when we tank him. We're going to add a black, a whole priority. anyway.
So
we're 19 minutes and 30 seconds.
So for our question of the week, we kind of wanted to kind of reflect on 2013 as a year in Magic. I think it was a definitely exciting one. So the question of the week is, what do we think is the most kind of exciting thing, or at least noteworthy thing that happened in 2013. So what do you guys think?
For me, it was... This is going to be... Oh, I thought Mike farted in the air.
No, I misinterpreted what you were saying. I'm sorry.
Good job, for me, it was definitely... this sounds like a cookie-cutter answer, but starting the podcast was probably the coolest Magic thing I did in 2013. It gives me an excuse to talk about Magic. It gives me an excuse to hang out with friends. Coolest thing play-wise that happened, cashing my first event was pretty sweet. That TCG Diamond event. And then cashing two SCGs was pretty cool. That's nice. So I guess that's probably my highlight. The podcast and then having cashes and actually like getting something out of the game was kind of nice.
I mean, in honesty, this is like your first... This is your first year of Magic, right?
Of competitive, yeah. I started in June of last year, so this is my first year of serious competitive Magic.
So I mean, that's pretty exciting to be playing competitively for a year and then like get caches and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I mean, you're obviously on the right track and definitely can go pretty far, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'll teach Morgan a thing or two soon.
Yeah, exactly. Soon, now, please.
Hey, Morgan, here's a tip: when you have Purphoros and Elspeth in your hand, you can cast both.
Yeah.
Play the Purphoros first.
Oh, man.
And then you play the Elspeth.
Really?
Or even you can play the Elspeth, play the Purphoros, then plus one.
That's true.
So, if you want to lose your Elspeth or the Hero's Downfall or something. I'm just giving you options.
I appreciate it, Mike.
What for you?
Oh, man. Favorite moment this year, so I can, like, I've enjoyed starting the podcast, too.
Right. I mean, it's a big
moment. I think it can go without saying that we've all enjoyed doing this.
Well, I wanted to go with saying.
Fine.
I'm a man of words.
You can be redundant.
See, where Mike and I wear our emotions on our sleeve, Morgan is like actually like a private emotional person.
Morgan wears one of those, it's an armband thing. It's got, it's like black with like red marks.
I just wish he wouldn't go down the path. I've had to edit things out of the podcast due to this. Stop doing this.
Okay, I'm sorry. Anyways, favorite moment, I guess, cashing the Invitational.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. You had some pretty awesome caches.
I had a PTQ top 8 as well, which I thought was pretty awesome early in the year. But I felt like the best Magic I played and the most like the best against the best competition I played against was definitely in the Invitational. So playing it with my own deck and Standard and doing well and it'd be, I don't know, like just proving myself that I could hang at that level. You know, with a bunch of people who are grind a bunch and and take their money. you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, to get some open points. I mean, like you played in terms of Jeff Hoogland and Reed Duke and those guys.
Jeff Hoogland's a real nice guy. I don't know if does he count as upper echelon?
No, I mean, he's a grinder, right? Like,
I think he is definitely well-known within...
Yeah, I know. So what I'm saying is like, you did well against people that...
Yeah, yeah, but you could have said, like, Reed Duke and Huey Jensen.
I said Reed Duke and Todd Anderson and...
You just said Reed Duke and Jeff Ugland. That's all you said.
I was coming off. What? Hey, you know what? Actually, I think you had a shit 2013. I hope your next one is terrible. I hope you two drop on your birthday pizza, you.
Oh, sad. Back. Yeah, we'll talk about the...
I'll take it back.
We'll talk about the birthday PTQ as well in our announcements.
I will say this year, and again, I'll try to out sap Jordan if we can do that.
Yeah, that's
and
impossible.
By sap, I mean be like be emotional. Not,
I'm more romantic. You
know, start presenting in Spanish.
We will not have a Spanish audio portion of this podcast.
Por qué,
Pessy?
That's Asian.
Again, this is why we aren't going to have a Spanish portion of this podcast.
I really actually enjoyed, like, so, like, I never really pursued grinding as much just because, like, I don't like getting in the car and driving by myself. Like, last year, I planned to go to a bunch of GPs, and I'm like, man, I want to drive. So, like, now having you guys to grind with, and, like, the whole group we have down here, and actually just, like, going to Detroit was, like, the best things ever. And obviously, we did well, and we just got to, like, sit in the car and have, I don't know. I've really enjoyed
a lot of fun.
I've enjoyed that this year, like, just being able to, like, travel to different events. Like, last weekend, going to play the team event, that was...
Yeah, that was a good time. Oh, you should talk about that at some point.
I'm sorry. Good.
No, I was going to say, like, that's a good point that I had left out of mind. The best part of 2013 was probably this summer, where I was having a bad time, like, real life. But every weekend, I got to look forward to going to a PTQ.
Yeah.
And, like, we played, what, like, out of 8 weeks and 2 months, we played, like, five of them.
Yeah, it was a
lot. And then the three we didn't, we, like, played on Saturdays at Comic Town.
Right.
And it was just like, what in the world? Like, I was poor as shit. But, like, we had so much fun this summer. Like, it was a good time. But,
yeah, there was a lot of magic in the summer.
And that was sweet.
I definitely agree.
I definitely kind of miss it now because, like, Saturdays where we don't have events, I'm like, what do I... I guess I'll just...
What do I do?
Go back to bed.
Yeah, especially in the holiday season. It's obviously been busy. And,
right.
So it was definitely a good summer that we had.
Yeah, what about you?
I mean, I think some of the most memorable stuff that happened in Magic in general, not necessarily personally, but just, like, there were some crazy things that happened in Magic. They took down daily events on Magic Online, guys.
So he doesn't care about us, he cares about Moto.
Yeah, I live my life vicariously through whatever Wizards does. So.
I'm going to
turn my memories into a Seinfeld joke.
The podcast
Daily's going down? What's up with that?
The podcast was fine, but Moto took down daily.
I mean, like, it feels like 2013 was definitely a growing year for Magic in a lot of ways.
Sure.
And yeah. Not that kind of growing.
I don't even know what kind of growing that is.
It's
Rita throwing her staff from the moon.
Making the monsters grow. That's what it was. And then the Power Rangers have to get
comfortable with
them. That's how New Year's happened.
Can we just move along, please?
I guess personally would be definitely traveling a lot more, going a lot more places than I thought I would playing Magic. Because I thought it would just be like a local Ohio thing, but you know, going to like making a day trip to Indy and going to Detroit and things like that was a lot of fun. And I mean, it pretty much started with the fall with you know, going to Cincinnati and you know, all that stuff. It's just been a crazy trip, like meeting all these new people that I you know never. Didn't really have or know before.
Like that guy, he was awesome. And what's his face? I mean, I will never find
you. Say that. You just meet people, right?
Oh, it's true.
Like these two assholes.
Yeah.
But no, like
Jordan, you have two assholes.
And the doctors don't know what's up. They said it to be a penis.
I don't think that. I don't think that we mentioned this, but being a part of a Magic team
is yeah, that's actually awesome as well. Like, Comic Town.
It's so, like, $3. Like, that's the best thing ever.
So, like, that's huge, and, like, that's a great thing to be a part of, and, you know, it's exciting to see where that goes in 2014, because I think that there's a lot of evolution that we want to have with the team. I know we don't necessarily talk a lot about it here, but, I mean, we definitely wanted to have more of a presence and be more of a thing. Rather than just a group of people, but actually be a cohesive team. So right. I think that's pretty awesome. I mean, I had some pretty good finishes. I mean, definitely the tail end of the year has been a little bit disappointing to me. But I mean, obviously there's reasons for that I know of. But I mean, all in all, I've had a very good time playing Magic in 2013, and I'm very excited for this year because I don't think like the way that I've had you know took. time away from work. It didn't quite work out the way that I had, so my traveling was limited towards the end of the year. But now that I have this mindset of, you know, wanting to go and play Magic places, like, it allows me to be more flexible and, like, have that more right in the forefront of my mind when I actually, you know, come into 2014. So it's very exciting.
Yeah.
So,
well, you said something before you even wanted the next thing.
Yeah.
Were you transitioning?
I was just about to.
Okay, yeah. Before you transition, okay. In response,
transition on the sec.
Yeah, we have five steps of the show, so it's like five phases. Before combat,
before transition.
You said something about like taking a day trip to Indy. After grinding Magic for like about a year now, my idea of what can be accomplished in a day is so different than before.
Yeah,
like we went to GP Detroit, and we literally like I got up from Elliot's house at 4 a.m. and drove to Detroit, and then like could have theoretically driven back that day. I was just like, what in the world? Like, you said a day trip to Indy, that's usually like before Magic. Oh, you go, you get a hotel, you get up early the next day and drive home. But now it's like, oh no, you get home by 4. What do you want? Like,
yeah,
it's Magic. Magic is cool. I haven't even been to crazy places for Magic. You have like pro points like Nolan. I've been to Ireland and Tokyo and freaking Amsterdam. This game can take you places, and that's sweet. Even if it's just this weird, really dirty street in Detroit, you know, and you meet some interesting
people. The one scary section of Detroit that we saw.
Oh, this is a TV Detroit.
Yeah. Well, like, no, it was like we were walking this well-lit thing with nice restaurants and shops. You turn a corner and it smells bad. There's homeless people in five liquor stores.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
The streets were lit up in neon, but not the good neon.
Yeah, like the six-year-old in the liquor shop by himself, like looking through the stock. You're like, what? We're here. Never mind.
Yeah.
The beer in the hotel. We're in the hotel lobby. It's just the Miller Lite.
Definitely a nice hotel, but you couldn't take the Detroit out of it.
Right. Yeah, we had a very nice hotel.
Yeah. Still stray beer cans in there for some reason. Who knew?
That was a good time.
Oh, wow. Detroit was awesome. Detroit was awesome. Definitely, it was interesting because I feel like Detroit was awesome, but when we went to Kentucky, that was bad. I know when you guys went to Kentucky, when Mike went to, because you guys went to Louisville.
We went to Louisville.
Yeah.
And then
me and you and Keller went to Lexington.
Lexington was not fun.
Louisville was really fun because Dave won a PTQ, the only Magic tournament he played like that quarter, and he wins it. But it wasn't fun like leaving BW3s after his meal at 1:30 and for a 4-hour drive. And like Keller the whole time was like, what? It's like, oh no, Keller wasn't there. No, it was like
I wasn't there either, so I don't know what you're talking about.
You were in Louisville.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, Louisville was there.
Where we leave Louisville like 1:30 because the tournament starts at noon, so we're all like, yeah, noon, because we think we're leaving by like 5, you know. And like,
you guys are all going to scrub out, and you're like, well, let's go get sad pancakes and leave.
Well, yeah, I remember like telling Nolan after he won, like, if you would have lost in that vinyl, you were walking home. Like, you would have just had a car full of angry people. And yeah. Nolan also saved two members of Team At Your Instep's life on the car ride back. It's like 3. We're not even in Ohio. I'm like, my head's like bobbing. And right before I was about to do that final bobbing to sleep and killing 5 people in the car, Nolan goes, hey, Jordan, how's it going up there? It's like, worse than you know. Thank you, Dave. So this show would not be happening without Dave, Pro Boys Nolan. So.
Yeah, so can I resolve my transition now?
Yes.
Okay.
Sphinx is run for 2.
Passport, yeah. Thank you.
So, taking a look forward, going into 2014, do you guys have any goals? Have any things that you want to aim to achieve in 2014?
I know we were talking about this, and I didn't think of anything. Everybody's looking at me.
Well, I would say I want to win a PTQ, but I will obviously win birthday PTQ on the 28th, which will still technically be 2013.
Oh, mentioned that now. We said that twice now. Say what birthday. Let's talk about
my birthday is December 28th, and the PTQ in Columbus, which is by Comic Town, is that same day. And for some reason, Ryan lost his mind and decided to also include a large cash prize. And it's the payout.
PTQ 5K.
It's the payout of a classic. Correct. Oh, but also envelopes to go to a Pro Tour. So
yeah.
Pretty insane. And I will be. So I'm sorry. Like, again, birthday PTQ preordained. Don't even bother coming.
I mean, it's true.
The crazy part is like you get enough money if you win the PTQ to literally like pay for the flight in the hotel if Wizards didn't pay for that anyway?
Yeah, it's, like, it's right. Awesome. And like the this is for Georgia. It's Georgia. For
so like $2,400 buys you a house.
I'm just saying like it's already local, so you're not necessarily going very far. You don't have to get a passport or anything, so it's pretty sweet.
Might as well drive and cash the plane ticket they give you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe, probably not.
I can't do that. So,
Seriously, I mean, definitely the PTU continues to be the dream. But beyond that, I definitely want to be qualified for the Columbus Invitational.
Yeah, I think it's kind of all of us here. I think we all want to be qualified.
In January, we have Indy and Columbus as possibilities. Yes. So that we can get that can get done. But
I agree. I mean, we have, like, tons of stuff in our area. Like, we have Cincy still, and there's SCGs all over town. So as long as, you know, weather complies, which, you know, this season in the Midwest has not been the most easygoing for weather. But, you know, hopefully we can try to get to as much as we can and you know, definitely get to that invitational because it's huge. It's right in our backyard. You know, it's just like the 50K for TCG. When it's right in your backyard, you really want to be there.
Yeah.
And, like, obviously sure. we'll all be there for the Open, even if we don't qualify, but it's nice to be part of that invitation.
At Origins, too. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
The atmosphere, like, it was the same thing. Like, going to Gen Con, like, going to an atmosphere that's a con as well. Like, I would say right now, if you are planning on coming to that Columbus Open and you've never been to Origins, you know, maybe come a day or two early.
It starts on Thursday, typically. Wednesday or Thursday is when
Come a couple days early, check out Origins as well.
Yeah.
It's not as big as Gen Con, but you also get some things you won't get at Gen Con and Origins.
Right.
And I don't know, if you've never done the con thing, like, it's pretty awesome.
Origins is amazing.
It's really fun. Oh, man.
And even if you are, like, a casual person that likes Magic, it's worth it just to go to Origins if you're within the Midwest area. Just because there's so many things in gaming that you can get there. And in all honesty, you know, if you take a look back at the history of Magic, Origins was huge for Magic.
Did it start there?
Like, I mean, I think Origins was its premier sort of convention. Wizards really went everywhere with Magic, in all honesty. But Origins was huge.
And it's promotional.
Yeah, and you know, it used to be. I mean, when you take a look at the two big conventions, you have Gen Con, which is the big one, the big 4 days. But, I mean, Origins is right behind it. It's on its heels. Right. So it's definitely going to be a fun time. So I think it's definitely we want to be there. We want to be on that stage.
For sure.
I mean, personally, I obviously have been, you know, due to work schedule, due to not being able to play as actively, you know, my play needs to tighten up a bit. So it's something I'd like to work on and figure out. You know, what's the best way to fix that and work on that? So, I mean, that's going to be a struggle. It's not like I could just burn all my vacation time taking Fridays off for F&M. But
I don't see what the problem is. As a guy who doesn't have to work on Friday nights.
So yeah. Go fuck yourself. Wait, I mean...
Right. People have to work on Friday
nights? Go fuck yourself. I don't know what to say to this.
A loser.
So, I mean, it'll be definitely interesting to see where that goes, and it might take some help by my teammates to, you know, maybe, you know, play on Saturdays or you know, actually go to do things on and actually play Magic on Saturday. We all contributed.
We actually just bought 70 ticks yesterday.
So, I mean, it's definitely interesting to see where that goes. I feel that, you know, I have been playing more games on Magic Online. I feel it is helping me. I do miss, like, the camaraderie and, like, playing with other other people. But we'll see what that goes.
Hey, check out the school play. Oh, nobody's here.
I'm alone.
Oh.
How typical.
Oh, wait. Why have my pants on, though? There is an upside.
Yeah. Wait a tick.
Oh, wait. You know, that's what I do at F&M. That's weird.
Probably
it is weird.
That's a public place.
Resolution for you? Wear clothes more often.
So Mike, PTQ, invitational for all of us. I mean, it'd be nice to win a PTQ. I still think my caliber is up there.
I agree.
So that's all right.
My goal is to fly to, like, North Dakota and play in one of theirs and just crush a 9-man PTQ.
I think you'd have to go to, like, Alaska or something like that.
Yeah. No, my goal, were you done? I'm sorry.
Oh, I also want to travel a bit more and, like, make...
Go further, or...?
Yeah, go further.
Yeah, like,
I know the goal is to go to GP Nashville.
Yeah, we are. I think that's... I mean,
I think that's pretty a lock, right?
Yeah, like, I think we are definitely
going
to start saving your island, so...
So I think I don't know, like, I don't know what you guys, what, you know, what necessary plans are. I'd like to make a week of it, just because it's, you know, it can be like a pseudo vacation. It's Tennessee. I've never been to Tennessee, never been to Nashville, but I know there's a lot of cool shit there, and I want to check it out and then play some Magic. So it'll be definitely interesting to see what actually happens. So what, Jordan, you have any more for 2014?
I've been trying to think about goals that are attainable and measurable. Like, the worst thing that I hate when I make goals is often I'll say, well, I just want to get better, or I want to win more. Like, what does that really look like?
Yeah, it's pretty vague.
It's pretty vague. Like, stop making mistakes. Like, obviously, like, if I didn't want to stop making mistakes, I could just, like, sell my cards. But I think... See, I'm in this weird place where all my friends at this game are, like, just actually better than me. And, like, I
not all.
Well, sorry, I'm better than Morgan. He's, like, actually better than me. And, like, our playtest group is really good. You know, we have Dave, we have, you know, Keller, who's very methodical. You have Mike, and you have Morrow and those kind of guys who are actually just really into the game. So when I, like, do this new player kind of crap that's, you know, I mean, I got to get off the new moniker at some point. So
like, overall, I think you probably had a better year than I did playing Magic. So I don't think that you can necessarily have that crutch of I'm a new player.
Sure, sure.
Because you're definitely competent.
Sure, yeah. No, so like I have to, but I think there's this interesting goal making decision where I have to go, yeah. So like all these people that I think are just insanely better than me, like have been playing for forever, and that's really tough for me to deal with emotionally. Where I'm like, oh, like Dave crushed it at BT, or oh, Mike crushed it at the Invitational. Oh man, like IX3 in top 64 made $50, and that feels kind of bad. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, but Mike's just like insanely better than me at this game. Like Mike never plays blue white and just crushed me at blue white today. Like, like the deck that I pride myself on knowing how to play and all that. So like I would say like win a PTQ. Like I think I could luck out to a PTQ win. Like I'm not gonna pretend to be good enough. Like I think I could be good enough on a good day.
What do you feel about top 8 at PTQ?
I think I could top 8 at PTQ. Yeah. And then I think once you top 8 at PTQ, I can luck out. I think I could luck out to a PTQ win.
Sure, right? But like, I mean, like if you want, I think if you want something that could be achievable, like just saying like top 8 at PTQ, like that's a good goal. And like you can't necessarily feel bad if you do it and you don't win. Like,
right?
It's still good. So get that play mat.
That I can't ever play because we've had your instant ones.
That's true.
So like.
Sell that shit then. I don't know.
Yeah. So like top 8 of PTQ would probably be a goal. Another goal would to be deck selection for events. I'm pretty stubborn when it comes to picking a deck and playing. A lot of that's for money.
Yeah, and a lot of, we just don't necessarily have the flexibility to be like, oh, let's just slide into that deck.
Yeah. But I think we do too. We're like, we have a billion friends, and we could build every deck in Standard.
I still have a billion cards, so.
Right, so like we could theoretically build like most of the decks in Standard.
Yeah.
But I'm like blue-white might just be better than Esper, and like I won't play it, you know? I don't think it is, but then again, confirmation bias is a hell of a drug, so like.
But I mean, like, I mean that's an interesting discussion all on its own,
right.
I mean... I think it takes a while for people to gain that kind of eye on the metagame and like know when it shifts and when to play certain things.
Right. And,
you know, how much does that really play into it? It's the constant debate of being comfortable with the deck over, you know, being the best deck for that weekend.
Right.
So I know that Mike and I have been, you know, both playing the same list, and me being comfortable with it and like me being able to talk to Mike about specific matchups is really helpful, and even getting like sideboarding notes. Like that is far more helpful than just being like, okay, what's the best deck for this metagame? Because, you know, I like sideboarding is always my weakness because I never know what to necessarily take out. Putting in things as pro is pretty, you know, obvious, but what to take out, and switching decks constantly does not help that at all.
Sure.
But having something that's consistent to be like, okay, well, I know these cards are good against this matchup, and what I've seen from his list, you know, these are going to be good and these are going to be bad, and like that's so much, and I'm sure it's, you know, so helpful, and I'm sure it's the same way with you with Esper, where you're just like, you know, a matchup, you see certain cards, you're like, well, I need this and I need this and I need to take this out, and like. Right. So if we were to look at your same situation on my end, it would probably be better for me to say, you know, stick with the deck consistently.
Right.
But, you know, you have to make that decision on your own. I mean, it's kind of an interesting thing. I've always found it very admirable when people are just like, well, I don't know how to play this, but I'm just going to play this on the fly, a la Dave Nolan, in top 16, you know, the open. No big deal.
He's just like, yeah, I've never played this deck before. Oh, top 16, next week. Oh, I want to beat you. How many games did you play with that? How many games did I play at Columbus? 20.
This is next jump, whatever.
He didn't even like it the next week, yeah. I guess to say a set answer, my goal would be the top 8 of ETQ, which I think is more on the ambitious end of my goal. But then to continue to cash in the opens and the TCG players that we're playing. Because I did that this year. At this point, I would be kind of upset if I didn't cash one of those. I would consider it a bad day. Because like you can X3 an event. You can X4 an event on a really bad day and still cash. So I would consider that.
Yeah, apparently you can, you know, X something and draw in. I have no idea. So, I wish I would have drawn that tournament so bad. Just to knock the fuck out.
You know, Tilton, that guy would have kicked my ass in the parking lot. Like, that guy just would have actually shot me.
I mean, that's not my problem.
Hey, guys, can you walk me to the bar? My opponent looks mad. Top 8 PTQ, cash opens.
Sweet. I think it's good. I think it's doable. I'd like to cash the more opens. I don't think I've actually ever cashed an open, so.
You know how nice it is to go into somewhere, spend money, and then, like, leave and, like, get your money back?
Yeah.
Just like, great. Oh, like, today, like, cost me not anything.
Yeah, I would like to. I've free-willed things.
But, like, I can just play 12 hours of my favorite game. Like, golfing costs $1 billion, right?
That's true.
Like, so, between balls and
clubs. Use a different number. Using billion a lot.
320,000.
Jesus.
Yeah, so, like, golfing costs 320,000. Yeah, golfing costs a lot of money. Magic costs a lot of money. My biggest problem is when people are like, yeah, like, so how much do you spend on that game? Oh, like, you know, a couple hundred a month, maybe. You know, like, between traveling and the cards and, you know, like, you could theoretically spend that much money. And they're like, oh, well, like, does it ever pay back? And you're like, sometimes. But they're like, oh, well, that's dumb. Why would you do that? Like, oh, yeah, like, how does a bar ever pay you back? You moron. Like, you had a $60 bar travel. Like, if you ever just won money on drinking, yeah, go jump over a bridge. Like,
I mean, it pays you back differently. You know, a hobby always pays you back. Sometimes with this, it does pay you back in direct cash, which is, you know, pretty nice. Here.
Morgan's about to press the Spanish button.
But
get sappy, buddy.
But Magic will always pay you back in some facet, whether it be through a friendship.
Oh!
Oh, you did it!
You have feelings! Magic has paid me back with relationships.
I mean, let's be fair, that's probably about the best I got out
books
of this year.
Books are magic.
I'm just saying, like, you pursue a hobby because you enjoy it. And whether your hobby, you know, actually has monetary gain with it or not is almost irrelevant. If we played Magic and had not as good success, but somewhat success playing Magic. Like, if we were still good players, but let's say we just rocked our FNMs, and that's all we did. We have this podcast, and all we do is play FNMs, but we were the best at it. We would still be just as happy playing Magic as we would be now, maybe even more, because Magic is always going to give you something back. Your hobbies are always going to give you something back, and that's why you have them. That's why you do them.
A blood clot in your knee.
You know, yeah. Yeah,
heart,
whatever.
Heart failure. Diabetes, all the things that I have.
Something, all right. I didn't say something good.
Sore wrists.
You get that anyway,
get
let's
that.
Be fair.
Hey, some of us suffer from
that. Hey!
Aren't you looking for something else next year?
So, overall, I think that 2013 was a great year for us to
win. Got him!
And I think 2014 is going to be pretty good as well. Obviously, we're still going to be doing this. And I think we actually have announcements kind of pertaining to that, that I think Jordan would like to share with us.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. At Your Instep, we, here at Your Instep, we're having to announce a partnership with Empire Cards out of Streetsboro, Ohio, where they are
Sponsoring us,
yeah. Like,
sound like a total Ron Burgundy morning. Like, you're reading the Empire
Cards. Yeah, no, Empire Cards out of Streetsboro, Ohio. Carl McCormick is that shop owner, and he is going. You're going to see his logo on our website. Don't worry, we're not all corporate, but we really like what Empire Cards is doing up there in Streetsboro. Mike and I played in one of their events last week. Carl likes what we're doing here at Your Instep, and it's just a way to mutually help each other out. Carl's helping us. You know, we're going to give Carl some exposure to you guys. So I would check out EmpireCards.com.
Empire Game Center.
Empire Game Center is the name. What's their website? It's Empire Cards, right?
I believe it is.
Yeah, EmpireCards.com is their website. And you'll see links on the website. But you check out their single stock. It's insane. And if you ever go to an event where you see an Empire Cards banner, go sell your cards to Carl. He'll give you fair prices. and the guy has a six doc.
Yeah.
There's more of that. Carl definitely has a good reputation of, and obviously now that we're saying this, it's going to be like, well, you just said you announced the sponsorship. But Carl actually, like, will remember you. Can, like, if you go to him consistently, and then, like, we'll find cards for you. And, yeah. I mean, the guy, obviously, the guy's stock is just...
It's out of this world. Like, yeah. He has an online-only stock, too, like, that doesn't even interfere with his, like, real-life stock. So, like, you know, if you, like, go through the website, you can get infinite more than you'll see in a store. The guy's got, from vintage to standard to popper, he's where to go. And I know, like, everybody's going to be like, well, you guys are corporate because you're just talking this guy up. But, like, we liked him before we did this. Remember when we first went to Carl with this, he goes, oh, I don't want another project. And we were like, ah, come on. And then, like, later he was like, yeah, that's only a bad idea. how about that Agarian stuff thing? And we were like, yeah. Oh, okay.
So, definitely there's going to be, you know, more information, you know, specifically pertaining to Empire cards starting in the new year. We'll definitely have something before the show that will kind of give you all the information. But we just wanted to announce it because we're obviously excited about
it. We're really excited.
It allows us to, you know, keep, obviously we're doing this for free. But it allows us to put a little bit more time and energy into the podcast and hopefully, you know, create an overall better product for you to enjoy. All three of you. Just kidding, Carl. There's more people that listen to us. There's more than just three.
God, Dad's going to know I'm faking the viewer statistics.
Obviously, we're you know, very excited about the next year. We are going to take a couple weeks off for the holidays, so this will be the last episode until the new year starts.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we definitely wish everyone out there happy holidays and a happy new year. And then we will, of course, see you guys in 2014. Please check out our website at yourendstep.com. Follow us on Twitter at yourendstep. Go to our Facebook page. Come like us. Definitely, you know, give us some feedback. You know, how have you liked the first 25 episodes of this, about your end step? You know, please do let us know. Also, visit Empire Cards, obviously. You know, it's a great place. They also are on TCG Player as well.
That's how I first heard about them, actually.
So that is a great way to also, you know, purchase your cards from them if you do prefer using that website. I know a lot of people like using that website, so find them on there and find them on the website, which is just EmpireCards.com.
Fun fact, that's how I actually got turned on that store. I bought cards from them, and they sent me a life pad with my order. And I was like, oh, I like life pads. And I didn't play Comic Con yet, so like life pads were a rare commodity.
Yeah.
So like that was insane.
So yeah, and of course, if you are in the area of Streetsboro, Ohio, do visit the Empire Game Center. They don't only just have Magic. They have a huge selection of Magic, obviously. But they also do have board games and other card games. So definitely check out that store. But I mean, that's pretty much everything we had for you this week, guys. Again, we'll see you guys in 2014. Have a great day.